I was fortunate to play at a very good basketball school. And then you go away and you coach and you think that, you know, if I ever had the chance to coach here at Maryland, it'd be great. But I never thought I'd have the opportunity to come back and coach at Maryland.
Trimble with 3 seconds. Trimble for the win! Cowabunga!
A sellout crowd of 43,000 cheers Queen Elizabeth and her consort Prince Philip. Very special guests of the University of Maryland.
90 seconds to go. Vasquez for three in the lead. 78-77 Maryland.
I believe that the Terrapin is the loveliest, perhaps the most beautiful of all trees.
There's Wells to jump out, make the depth, and slam it. Yikes. Brown will take it inside the five. Touchdown, Maryland. Terrapins beat Virginia Tech.
And no handshake for the coin toss from Maryland before the game today. It is on.
Okay, grab shell, dude.
Ha-ha! Righteous! Righteous!
And breaking free for the touchdown is Jay Sean Jones on his first touch as a Terp.
You're listening to Inside Maryland Sports Radio.
Hello and welcome to the IMS Signing Day Special Report. This is Paul Douglas with football guru Ahmed Ghafir. Ahmed, you're still awake. It's 8:30 at night. Congratulations. It's been a hell of a day. I can't even imagine when you got up, and it certainly did not get any easier as the day went along on what was probably the craziest day for Maryland on signing day, at least as long as I can remember.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. Obviously started out with the stunner with Rakeem Jarrett. Maryland got some good news later when Isaiah Jacobs committed, but it was a disappointing day in terms of the existing targets coming in, but I would say Jared's unexpected decision more than made up for it.
Yeah, it's pretty strange in that, you know, there have been signing days where, you know, we're not entirely sure whether a guy's going to pick Maryland, but you kind of know what's coming. You know, you've got a list of kids and you hope maybe, you know, one or two or three of them decide to pick Maryland, you know, put on the hat, do the thing, whatever. But today, I mean, I think the biggest story is obviously Rakeem Jarrett. It came completely out of nowhere. Mike Locksley actually said earlier on at his press conference that he didn't even know that this was going to happen. I think the latest news you'd reported yesterday maybe was that he was going to not sign until February.
Yeah.
That kind of the last indication about what was going on in his camp?
Yeah. So it's he actually announced that he would be signing in February and that St. John's did not allow prospects to sign in the early period. So I'm told that Rakeem really separated from St. John's. St. John's was not aware that Rakeem did sign today. That was not something that they knew and caught both the Alabama and LSU staffs off guard. So Rakeem sounds like he made his own decision. Him and his family kept it close. And it was definitely not expected by anyone. Until social media.
It's stunning. I mean, it's stunning in that this is not a thing that I can really remember happening for Maryland before. I mean, you know, with the Diggs situation, Locksley had been working on them. You know, they had their big official visit. And then like a week later, I think they had an event at like Looney's or something. So there was kind of like that little telegraph that maybe, you know, maybe Locks might be able to pull this one out of his hat. You know, Lance Lejeune last year was another one that, you know, nobody really thought Maryland was going to pull that off, but they were in his final two or three when he made the announcement. So it wasn't like a totally, you know, out of left field kind of thing. I mean, this was completely out of left field. I will say to one Jeff Ehrman's credit, he was the one who kind of kept saying, and I'm not sure that he was hearing anything, but he kind of just kept noting like, hey, you know, Locks always seems to pull one out of his hat out of nowhere. Yep. And if he's going to do it, it's going to be Jarrett, right?
Yeah. And Jarrett was someone that he's an influential flip for Maryland, I'd say, just because in terms of his ability and his importance in the area. But Locksley did a really good job of winning over Jarrett's parents. That was something that I was told was kind of evident even while he was committed to LSU, even before LSU had their breakout season the way that they did. You know, Jarrett was always saying he was going to take an official to Maryland, always going to take an official. You know, he admittedly, he grew up a Stephon Diggs fan. He grew up a Maryland fan. So the connections to Maryland made sense. The intel last week pointed to Ed Orgeron and the LSU staff went for an in-home, and it sounded like they really want him over. But, you know, Loxley, he's a guy with his local recruiting prowess, has the ties to St. John's and the local prospects. And Brakeem is someone that's kind of always kept the door open. It sounded like contact was continuing to go even up to the last day. And, you know, there was always just a little bit of information to hold you to give yourself a fighting shot, but not enough to really go all in on a flip. So Loxley, like you said, Paul, Loxley addressed that the lack of transparency or lack of information was not always there. You know, Maryland was not expecting it today. So, you know, big news. He's an absolute game changer on the field. So that's a absolute huge win for this offense, I would say.
It's crazy, man. I got that text message. I was in the PG County Courthouse for work, and I'm like standing in the hallway, and I looked at it, and it said, you know, Rakeem Jarrett commits. And I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Look around. Honestly, of course, luckily in a PG County Courthouse, that's not an unusual thing to hear. But I was stunned. I had to like look at it a couple times to make sure it was like the right Jarrett and not like, you know, Rakeem, you know, Johnson, some like three-star, you know, offensive lineman from, you know, somewhere else. So Rakeem Jarrett, he's a total game changer. He's a wide receiver, 6 foot, 208 pounds, probably a little bigger right now. It certainly plays bigger than that. He's the number 20 recruit in the entire country, number two wide receiver, number two in DC. Ahmed, why don't you tell Maryland fans a little bit about what they're getting with this guy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing I've noticed from last year to this year is that Rakeem did a really good job of adding size to his upper body. I mean, you can just tell when you see him, he's a little bit thicker. That's really been able to help with his balance and strength on the field. One-on-one on the outside, he's very tough because he's so precise with his route running that he's able to gain that separation that way. And he has great change of speed. He's a guy that I think for Maryland, I know at high school, he was a guy that really thrived outside. I think at the next level, he could be someone that even if slotted on the outside, can just really open up the middle of the field for the offense and kind of help Maryland's length, like guys like Deshaun Jones and Dante Demas, to kind of extend the field a little bit more. But coincidentally, 24/7 Sports, we actually have our NFL comparison as Stephon Diggs for Rakeem Jarrett. So I think that's a perfect match for Loxley.
See, I wonder if I watched this film a little bit. It seemed like a little more of a physical presence than Diggs. I mean, he's got the breakaway speed. I'm not sure he's got Diggs' breakaway speed, but he certainly seems to be good at using his body. Like, he's not a huge kid, but he's definitely much better at being more physical, kind of getting off press coverage and being able to kind of, you know, have the ability to play on the outside and kind of, you know, pull in those tough catches, but also be able to work the middle and that kind of quick twitchedness, athleticism to be able to kind of pop open when he needs to.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Diggs is kind of he's kind of an exception just because I don't know if we've really seen someone at Maryland that has that change of speed and has that vision and game breaking ability that he had. But you're right. He is a little bit more of a physical receiver. And one thing I did notice that I got a chance to watch him when he went up against Deerfield Beach this season. He's a pretty physical receiver as well and does a good job with his downfield blocking. That was something that also stood out. And that was an area that I noticed that Maryland's receivers in 2019 really struggled. So, you know, especially in the Big Ten and, you know, really just for receivers in general, blocking is all as important, if not more important than being able to catch the ball. That's, you know, you're not going to be always getting the ball thrown to you. So, you know, Jarrett just being able to kind of step in, I think that's just kind of definitely a huge win. I could definitely see him slotting into the slot position though. So we'll see. He's very versatile. I'm very stunned that Maryland was able to pull this off.
Yeah, Loxley, man. He's a warlock, dude. It just... It's I mean, if you look at the class that Maryland signed today compared to what it looked like even a week or two ago, I mean, it's stunning. I mean, it's absolutely.
If you look at the class from when the season ended until now, it's like really night and day. I mean, heck, in the last 24 hours, look at even the running back room. We saw a pretty drastic change there. And, you know, it's pretty interesting. You know, I will say that was my one fear. Loxley was always going to have something up his sleeve that I wasn't prepared for. And this year just turned out to be Rakim Jarrett.
Who figured? Just the number 20 kid in the entire country. No big deal. So now you've got a receivers room where, you know, admittedly, Maryland struggled a lot getting open down the field. Blocking was hard on the outside. But now you could be looking at a starting three wide receivers of Dante Demas, Jayshon Jones coming off that ACL, and Rakim Jarrett. That ain't bad.
No. And I mean, you know, I was pretty impressed because Loxley actually went out of his way to point out that Nick DeGennaro, he's a three-star receiver. We have him as a three-star out of the Hunt School in Jersey. Loxley really pointed him out a couple times and said that's one of my favorite guys in this class. He really liked his short-term acceleration and quick short-term burst. And then you add a guy.
Dewan McDougal.
Dewan McDougal, I think actually outside, I would say he might be a little bit more explosive in terms of him versus Dychus. I think that on the outside, McDougal is he's just very smooth in his route running, and he can get downfield very, very easy. If it's one-on-one and it's a deep ball, there are a few people out there that are going to be able to beat him. So really this receiver class, it ended up being a great haul, even though that Maryland did miss out on a couple targets today. They more than struck gold, I would say.
Talking about the class. I mean, first of all, McDougal's a Florida kid. Nick DeGennaro, it's interesting because you're right that Loxley did bring him up at the press conference and brought him up again during the Big Ten interview on the Big Ten Network. So that'd be interesting to see whether he turns into something. He was a guy who just showed up at camp and kicked everybody's ass and walked away with an offer. It's pretty rare you get
really well parts. He's really
got. That's kind of like an old school thing, like back before, you know, the millions of recruiting services and all this, you know, tape flying around the internet. You'd have actual kids that would come out of nowhere and kind of walk away with a high ranking and a shit ton of offers just from going to like a camp or two. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the kids they got. It wasn't just Jarrett today. They also got three commitments to the past 24 hours. One from Ja'Corian Bennett, a cornerback out of JUCO. Frankie Burgess, a linebacker in Florida, and Isaiah Jacobs, a running back from Oklahoma, is also the little brother of Josh Jacobs, the running back for the Oakland Raiders, who brings some pain, man. You know, talk about the recruit, the running backs room now. You know, you've got some guys, you're bringing in some speedsters, and you're bringing in some kids who can really, really tote the rock in between the tackles, especially with Penny Boone coming out of Detroit. And now Jacobs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that Jacobs is a guy that he kind of was on Maryland's radar for a while. It turns out that I spoke with him tonight further just about, you know, what kind of went to Maryland. He actually took an official visit to Maryland this past weekend, got a pretty good look at things. You know, it was kind of Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Michigan was kind of showing interest, but Oklahoma State and Arkansas were kind of the two that were main service for him, but Maryland was able to kind of lock him, reel him in because of Loxley's connection with his older brother, as you mentioned, Josh Jacobs. Who went to Alabama, Roll Tide. So you have Isaiah Jacobs and then you have Penny Boone. I think Penny Boone I know he started out his senior year slow, but man, he really, really showed that. He's just a true physical Big Ten running back. I mean, like to the core, he's both of them combined, I would say, really add some bonus in terms of what Maryland's able to do on the outside and how you're able to kind of get through in between the tackles, kind of being able to get those more physical backs and getting those tough yards. I think that was something that Maryland struggled with. They were able to kind of get that from Leak last year, but you weren't able to get it consistently from McFarland. So I think the running back room, even with Leak and McFarland gone, both of them are exceptional athletes.
All right, so Maryland's got 23 kids right now who've signed their letters of intent. They also have four commitments who have not signed the letters of intent. Running back Ebony Jackson, wide receiver Corey Dices, safety Osita Smith, and tackle Santana Saunders. Tell us about what's going on with these four guys at the moment.
So Corey Dices, I'm told that he has a scheduling issue. His senior year went pretty long because he actually went out to he lost in the state championship. So that was the weekend of December 6th, and there was some scheduling that was that prevented him from getting on campus last weekend. I'm told that he's good. He's solid. He's set to sign in February. No concern there. No academic concern. As for Osita Smith, we are still waiting. That was someone that we were expecting to sign. So he was actually slated to enroll early at Maryland. So that's going to be someone we're going to be keeping an eye on until Friday. Santana Saunders, he's still kind of working on just some things outside of football, but, you know, all good there, you know, expected to sign in February. He's going to be someone that we continue to track. And then for Ebony Jackson, he's clearing up some, it's also some things outside of football and just making sure that he's good off the field. And, you know, he's tweeted out this morning, he's locked in with Maryland. He wish he could sign with his brothers. And so it sounds like Maryland's just going to have to wait a little bit longer for these guys. So I would say for the rest of the week, the guy to keep an eye on is Osita Smith for sure.
Right. That's the one. Yeah, that's the one that that is still expected to sign during the early period, not wait till February like the other guys.
Exactly.
This class currently as it stands is now the number 27 class in the country, number 6 in the Big Ten, which again, considering where it was just a little while ago, is stunning, and just never close the door on Mike Loxley because he's always got some up his sleeve.
Yeah, I think it was a week ago. You asked me where I thought the class would sit, and I said around 40th. So shout out to the foot and mouth for me. honestly, it's a really drastic change. The class looks good, and a lot of guys like Penny Boone, you know, he was actually getting a lot of late interest from Michigan State. Maryland was able to hold him out for the in-state school. Dewan McDougal, he was getting some interest as of late. So, you know, I would say overall, and obviously Rakeem Jarrett, just really the cherry on top. And I would say night and day. And, you know, don't be surprised. There's a potential that Maryland adds to more. So we'll stay locked in until Friday.
All right. King of the segue. Let's go right into it. Who's still out there that we might get to sign during this period?
The name I'm keeping an eye on is Tuscarora four-star receiver Jordan Addison. He's currently committed to Pitt going into Wednesday night. I'm told that he's coming off Maryland official. He has a really strong relationship with Pitt wide receiver coach Chris Beatty. But from what I'm hearing is Maryland has definitely made it a big run. Jordan's actually out today because he has a family graduation. So looks like there can be more developments from Wednesday night into Thursday morning, but Jordan is set to commit later on Thursday. So we'll see. Signs as of now point to Pitt. The confidence is wavering, though. So Maryland has definitely made it interesting. And I will say that the buzz did pick up after Rakeem Jarrett committed. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't think that any of us can rule out Loxley at this point.
Interesting. And now, is he being recruited as a wide receiver?
I'm told a wide receiver. He really can play both, so I wouldn't be surprised if at some point that maybe Maryland, when he comes in, says, hey, let's look at our depth, and maybe you're best suited at defensive back, but I would say for now, receiver.
Okay. Not everything was perfect today. Maryland did miss out on some kids, notably Jeff Sims, Marcus Fleming, Devin Chandler, Alante Brown, and Fadil Diggs. Diggs probably hurts the most because of Maryland's defensive end curse. What do you see out there in terms of kids that might be available, if not during this period, maybe through February?
Well, big storyline that kind of went under the radar today was Demon Clowney. I know he's from St. Francis. He was a four-star defensive end set to sign with LSU, but there were some rumblings over the last couple days that, you know, maybe everything might not be all groovy with him and LSU. he opted to reopen his recruitment today. So, you know, we actually have a VIP article. Brian Doan had a VIP article, five or six schools that were kind of showing the most interest right now. Maryland was not listed, but I would be very, very surprised if Maryland did not look at the elite defensive end right in their backyard, despite it being St. Francis. I think having Rakeem Jarrett, I know that they're not super close, but there is some bit of a relationship there. So I would say he's someone to keep an eye on, not someone projecting to Maryland as of now, but, you know, there's a lot of time in between now and then. But I would say as of now, you know, Maryland, you know, was really able to lock up a good amount of their targets. Obviously, like you said, they missed out on some guys, but I would say just kind of look for the dust to settle. Look for some guys to sit to the guys that are still committed, even though that if they're still verbally committed, you know, that they still have a recruitment left. So I would say it's a little too early in terms of who the other defensive ends are, because also no new offers have gone out yet. But I would say defensive end and also quarterback is going to be an area to keep an eye on moving forward till February.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, obviously with missing out on Sims and some of the other guys who were on the fringes that they were kind of looking at, I can't imagine they're going to go an entire cycle without getting at least one quarterback in here. Are there any names at this point, or do you think they're just going to kind of reevaluate everything once the dust settles after Friday? And
I would say that there was one guy I was keeping an eye on was Robbie Ashford. He was a four-star quarterback. He was committed to Ole Miss before the coaching change. He actually is coming off an Oregon official and verbally committed to Oregon. It's important to note that he did verbally commit, did not sign. He will sign in February. So although Oregon knocked it out of the park, they have definitely reset the bar, the expectation in his recruitment. I would say that he is still technically available. So but maybe Merrill makes a run there. But Loxley did also open up the idea of going using the transfer portal, using the grad transfer market. So even if Maryland doesn't have someone right now, that definitely can change between now and spring ball and even after spring ball. So, you know, we'll see what happens. A lot of roster movement.
Right. Yeah. Especially you'll get a lot of guys who will roll out after spring ball too, and being able to finish their class load in May. So that's not completely finalized either.
Just this time of year, I think mainly the focus for college staffs is just get through the early signing period, get the guys, get as much of your class committed, get them locked in. And then after that, you say, okay, where are the guys? So Maryland, they have their four guys right now. They're going to continue to work on their four guys and make sure everything is in order. But, you know, I think everyone kind of takes a day or two to kind of pause, reset, and then you pick it back up. And that's when you kind of see your recruiting board just really drastically change.
Okay, so what I want to do is kind of go through the list of kids who have signed and just maybe give me a couple thoughts on them as a player and how early they might see the field based on need. We already talked about Jarrett. How about Ruben Hippolyte? That kid was recruited by everybody. He committed early, and he stuck with it all the way through, and he's a hell of a player.
Yeah. I mean, Maryland really held off for a couple of schools, Miami, Alabama. Penn State was pretty heavy on him up until, I would say, about midseason. There were a handful of schools that continued to show interest. Hippolyte never really wavered. He's a guy that's going to be in the box, has great hard-hitting skills, and does a really good job of identifying the gaps and filling those holes with his burst and a quick step. I like him a lot. I think that's someone that we could see in the two deep as a true freshman.
All right, Penny Boone.
Penny Boone is another guy we kind of talked about earlier. He's 6 foot, 230 pounds, just perfect fit for the Big Ten. Real physical back, but has that ability to kind of bounce outside and use that physicality to get downfield. He's not going to be a guy that breaks away. I'm not going to use a Jake Funk quote, but he's not going to be a guy that breaks away and you know, with the Anthony McFarland run type runs. But I think he's going to be a pleasant surprise, and I could see a heavy dosage of carries for him next year.
Another one in the running back room, Isaiah Jacobs.
Isaiah, I like him a lot. I think he's, again, another guy that's physical. You know, he's a guy that he fits the offense very well. He's coming off of an injury where he's almost 100%, still working through some physical therapy, but strained his PCL, so he kind of held him out of his senior year this year. That was something he was battling through. So Expected to be full go once he gets on campus. And I think that's going to be a guy that with next year just really helps with the depth as well.
Dewan McDougal.
Really, guy. Another guy I talked about earlier. He's really good with his one-on-one. Just very – the first word that comes out to me is just smooth. You know, he's just very, very smart, very fast, excuse me, and uses that speed and gets real separation downfield. He's a guy that I think can line up inside and out. I think he'll end up lining up outside, but just very good speed, takes the top off the defense. I like him a lot.
Tarheeb Still.
Still is a guy that he actually set the record for the South Jersey record for most receiving yards in his senior year. I can't remember the exact number. I believe it was over 1,500 yards. But one thing that really stands out to me is that he's a two-way receiver. You know, his coach continued to tell me that throughout the season, really the big plays did not come at him. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think he actually ended up with more pass deflections than he did completions against him. With the defensive back room the way it is, I could see him being a guy that plays and contributes as a true freshman.
And he's recruited as a corner, correct?
Cornerback, correct.
Okay. Bo Braid.
Bo, I like him a lot. He's a guy that he's a safety now, but, you know, there's been a couple people where I've talked to that think that maybe long term, if he really hits a strength and conditioning program, he can develop into a linebacker, a really athletic linebacker, real hard hitter. I got a chance to watch him twice. Really like his downfield burst. He was a guy that had a committable offer from Michigan and actually opted to commit prior to his official visit back in the summer.
Riad Wilmot.
Guy, he actually, Loxley talked about today how Maryland added, I believe the number was 12 or 13 guys that had won a state championship in their high school career. Wilmot is one of those guys that fits the bill. He came off that last week. I like his physicality. I think that he does a good job of getting outside, but I would say something he needs to work on is just kind of refining those pass rush moves. You know, especially with the loss of Jerzon Newton, I listed it as the most critical commitment that Maryland's gotten.
Ja'Corian Bennett.
This guy finished first team All-Kansas Jayhawk. In the college community conference or community college conference, finished with 25 tackles, 3 picks, 3 tackles. He's a very versatile guy. A lot of schools are looking at him at both safety and cornerback, just to give an idea of how versatile and how highly skilled he is. Committed to Maryland over Ole Miss and Mississippi State. So this was a late ad Tuesday night. So good JUCO pickup.
Amy Finau.
He's a guy that he plays inside, plays with the main streak. That was the first thing that his coach told me. Has a good burst. You know, we'll see. The first thing that pops out about him is his size. I mean, he has 6'2", but 334 pounds, especially in the 3-4, you need someone, a space eater. He fits the bill there.
What do you mean? Our nose guards that are all like 275 aren't going to pull it?
I don't think so.
Big Ten, yeah, okay. Mosiah Nasilikite.
He's a guy that he finished with 32 tackles, a sack, 13 solo tackles. He was at Washington as a freshman at a high school. Ended up at Independence and looks to finish his career at Maryland. He's another guy at 6'1", 306 pounds. He'll arrive in College Park shortly and. Again, another defensive end, so a critical need at a critical commitment.
Chris Love.
You know, I actually had a couple people reach out to me and talk about that they thought Love was someone that was severely underrated. He was someone that I included in my class superlatives as the most underrated. I would call him athletic, and the reason why is because in the need for swing guards is so evident. And if you watch the offense this year, I thought that was something Austin Fontaine did a very good job at. That's an area where I expect Chris Love to really excel in. And with Maryland looking to replace Sean Christie and just get some depth in numbers in those offensive line, wouldn't surprise me if Love kind of takes that next step going into this year and maybe make some noise into the 2D.
Devin King.
He was a guy that went up against some pretty good talent and out in California. He finished with 46 tackles and 2 picks the senior year. He will play and finish his senior year in the Pro Football Hall of Fame World Bowl. That's next week. He clocked a 4.6 at Maryland's camp in the 40-yard dash. There were a handful of schools that were after him. Fresno State was a school that was consistently showing strong interest even while he was committed, but King never wavered. He was on campus in December, and he's a very long quarterback, but maybe need some time at 5'11", 168 to kind of just bulk up and get ready for that college speed.
First California recruit since, what, Chris Turner, maybe?
Might be. I got to look that one up, actually.
All right, that's your homework. Nick DeGennaro.
Nick, that's a guy that like we talked about earlier, Loxie really liked him. He's a guy that when you watch him on his highlight tape, he doesn't where he really excels is that in an offense with other guys, DeGennaro does a really good job of drawing that one-on-one coverage, and he can beat the defense downfield. Loxie pointed out his short field awareness and his burst. That's an area. So maybe he's someone that can make noise at the slot position.
Shane Mosley, not the boxer.
Shane Mosley, he's coming off an injury. I did not get a chance to watch him this year. And I would say that coming off of his injury, it looks like his rehab will come up to about next season. So Maryland fans might see him next season, but it's very likely that he takes a medical redshirt next year.
Glenn Miller.
Glenn Miller is someone that a couple coaches reached out to me, and they said that depending on his development, he could actually grow into maybe just a very athletic outside linebacker, 6'2", 189 pounds, finished with 113 tackles, five tackles for loss, six picks, five forced fumbles. He'll finish his senior year in the North Florida All-Star Classic. Kind of an under the radar signing, we'll see what he brings to College Park.
Delmar Glaze.
Delmar, he is a tackle from Georgia, 6'4", 200. Yeah, I'm sorry, tackle from North Carolina, 6'4", 274 pounds. He committed in December. Maryland went and saw him a couple times. Went for an in-home. Committed to Maryland over UConn, FIU, and UMass. But you can't teach size. And one thing that was kind of pointed out to me was just his physicality. And maybe for a year or two, just kind of seasoning his body can provide that depth, that tackle.
Ja'Kai Green.
Yeah, he's, 6'6", 310 pounds. He played against some stack competition. St. Francis, they don't play in a conference, so they got a chance to play some very good competition throughout the season. Won 44-3 in his high school career at St. Francis. One thing that kind of stood out to me is that he did a really good job of pulling. He kind of needs to get a little bit lower in his stance, but he's a lot lighter on his feet and a lot more athletic than some would think.
Does he stay outside as a tackle, or does he move inside?
I would say guard. He played guard at St. Francis, too.
Oh, okay. Tall for a guard. That's, I was curious. Trey Smith.
Trey Smith is a guy, another guy that really camped well at Maryland. 6'2", 293 pounds. He projects inside. He's the first commit from Western Maryland since Ty Johnson. Had offers from Old Dominion, Temple, also held a Syracuse offer at one point. He's just really good size. And one thing I was told was that he moves well and he's light on his feet with that 6'2", 293-pound frame.
Zach Perkins.
Another guy that he was actually visited, former Marshall commit. When he visited, he picked up the offer and, committed shortly after. 6'4", 319 pounds from Berkeley Prep High School. He played both guard and tackle, but I do project him as a guard, actually. So we'll see. But I think that's someone that with another year of strength and condition, maybe he could be someone that sees the two deep in 2021.
TJ Kautai.
He is a JUCO. He arrives in January. He finished as the nation's number six junior college linebacker, finished 32 tackles, 1.5 sacks, and three tackles this season. Obviously didn't get a chance to watch him as well, but he's one of four independent signees. Many critical needs of position or position of needs. So we'll see how he translates to College Park in the depth.
Jahari Branch.
He's a JUCO, also from Independence. He was rated as the number two junior college offensive guard by JC Gridiron. He's another guy that he was contemplating Purdue. I believe Illinois was also in the mix for him. Another guy at 6'3", 330 pounds. He's a physical specimen. So that plays with the mean streak. So that's exactly what Maryland's offensive line needs.
And last signee today, Frankie Burgess.
He was someone that I actually thought was going to commit over the weekend, decided to hold off. He announced it this morning. One thing that really stood out to me was that he was very athletic. One thing that continued to resonate with me was that Maryland's need for athleticism along the outside linebackers and kind of guys that just kind of have that range. That was something that was kind of pointed out as to why Maryland wanted him so badly. Went all out for him on the chopper in South Florida last week as they saw multiple targets. So good ad, former USF commit. Nice late addition.
Awesome. All right. So that's the class as it stands at the moment. Possibility that Addison maybe adds to it tomorrow. Otherwise, you know, you can't rule out any other surprises, but that's probably it for the moment. There are what, 6 or 7 early entries in this current bunch? Is that true?
We have 8. Ebony Jackson was expected to. DeJuan McDougal, Ruben Hippolyte, TJ Kaute, Shane Mosley, Ja'Corian Bennett, Bo Breed, Jahari Branch, Ja'Kai Green, and Devin King.
Nice. So that's a lot of kids coming in pretty early. I mean, You cannot overstate how much those kids can get ahead physically and just kind of being part of the program, being able to go through strength and conditioning in the off season, as well as spring ball. It's just a totally necessary thing and really help get those kids up to speed.
Yeah. I mean, you see 2 linebackers, 4 defensive backs, two offensive linemen, all positions of need. So, very, very critical and take advantage of the early signing period.
Absolutely. I think the early signing period is amazing and is really helpful, especially for schools like Maryland, being able to lock these kids down and not have to worry about the vultures for too much longer while they go and, you know, see what they can do with. Well, that's a good point. Question. How many scholarships do you believe they still utilize at this point? They probably got, 4 to 5 left here, depending on.
I would put it in the ballpark around 4. So 3. Yeah. 3. Or, but that's going to be something that we'll further confirm over the next couple of days. But I would say that's just about it at this point. It's really just about finding those key targets.
Right. All right. Current class consists of 7 kids from Florida, 5 from Maryland, 2 from Jersey and Texas, and a bunch sprinkled out throughout the rest of the United States. Loxley's recruiting nationally with this class by necessity, really. Let's be honest about it. The local recruiting class has been one of the better classes in Maryland in quite some time, and Maryland's basically been shut out of it other than one of the best kids in the entire area deciding to flip to them from a potential national championship program on signing day. So that was weird, man. This whole day's been really weird, like in a super positive way.
Yeah, there was one quote from Loxley's presser today that stood out to me. He said, "If we can get to where we control the DMV, we probably don't have to go out as far, but we're a national brand. And if these local guys don't think our program is good enough, we'll go find them somewhere else." I thought that was very telling. And I think that's kind of I don't want to say taking a shot, but he's kind of addressing the local perception and the local recruiting problems that he had early on in this cycle. Maryland's ability to kind of extend their and leverage their staff's recruiting abilities, their ties with Mike Miller, Joker Phillips, Brian Williams, who really did an above average job to
kill it this class.
Really killed it with multiple targets, kept Maryland in the mix for many. But a lot of these guys have targets to Florida, Texas, Alabama, Oklahoma. I mean, it's very good. So definitely a positive signing day for Maryland.
I love it. Local kids don't think we're good enough. Fine. You know?
Yeah. And I think that's telling for someone that came in with local recruiting ties. And that was, his what he was known for. for him to say that and address it and realize, hey, we'll build it with or without you. I got to respect that approach.
Yeah, and he did say, too, that the 2021 class was really important to him because that was the group of kids that he's actually been able to recruit for the entire cycle. I mean, it's really a two-year cycle of trying to, you know, from when you can offer these kids as juniors to the, you know, them signing and signing with the program during the senior year. Exactly. You know, that 2021 class will be the first local class that he's really gotten a chance to kind of ingratiate himself with and not just be this guy everybody talks about, but, you know, an actual person with an actual program that can sell something to them that's kind of that's right in front of them, really, that they, you know, they'll get the full they'll get the full sale instead of somebody coming in late.
Exactly. So, well, we'll see what's next.
Yes, we will. And you will be all over it like you were all over today. But you need to go to bed. So get some sleep, rest up. Hopefully you'll be bothered by another by an Addison commitment to Maryland tomorrow. And you can recharge those batteries some other time.
Yes, sir. We'll stay locked in.
Look at you. You're on brand. I like it. All right, guys, thanks for joining us for our special on the early signing day period with Ahmed Ghafir. We are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, we are all over, especially Ahmed. He is literally all over the InsideMarylandSports.com message boards. We are IMS Radio. We are out.